God is good
all the time.
The food is good
all the time.
That's a good one. The food is always good. At the breakfast table, a member asked me what is the next part of our story. The next part of our journey in Hong Kong. Let me just briefly share before I dive into the word for this morning. I mentioned about the man who came to me at the altar and he said, God spoke to me, I will take care of your rent. That man, you know, in Grace Assembly, I must say, I know a lot of people. Especially the adults, I know most of them, that this man, I do not know him. All right? And that was the last time I saw him. Because 2 years later, when I went back to Grace Assembly, he was no longer in Grace Assembly. And even today, I do not know where he is. All right? So, an angel sent by the Lord. So we went to Hong Kong. And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. In fact, to me, it was like a paid sabbatical. A 2-year paid sabbatical in Hong Kong. We just enjoy the ministry. We enjoy the people. We enjoy the church. But then at my second year, you know, serving in Hong Kong, Grace Assembly asked me to come back. To go back to Grace to assume the senior pastor position. If you know me, I am not a man after position, especially the senior pastor position. In fact, in times past, I have an invitation to, you know, be a senior pastor in different churches, but I always say no. Because I work under two senior pastors especially, I knew it's always a challenging responsibility to be the senior pastor. I'm always happy to be the second man, so to speak. Just enjoy and leave the responsibility to the senior man. So when Grace asked me to go back to the senior pastor, I was really in a state of surprise and yet at the same time, very unsure. But it was in Hong Kong that the Lord dealt with me that somehow my heart became more open to the idea of being a senior pastor if ever there is the Lord's will. So we pray because it was a very decision again to leave the church in Hong Kong because we felt very attached with the church already. So we pray. And somehow in our journey, you know, the number two just stood up most of the time. You remember the renter, the person wanted to rent for 2 years. Not 1+1, but 2 years at one go. Remember the man who supported our renter, paid 2 years of the renter. So at the second year, Grace Assembly asked us to go back. So we pray. And one day I was doing my devotion. A Bible verse just popped up. Just lighted up. It's a verse that I've never seen before. All right, I read the Bible many times, but somehow I could not recall this verse in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 28, verse 30. And the verse say, for 2 full years, Paul stayed in his own rented house and welcomed many who came to see him. For 2 full years, he stayed in his rented house. The place in Hong Kong we rented is not our own house. Our own house is in Singapore. You know, stayed there for 2 full years in his own rented house and welcomed many who came to visit him during our time in Hong Kong. I would say about 150 people visited us. So for 2 full years. So that verse became the confirmation for us to move back to Singapore and for me to assume the leadership pastor as the senior pastor of the church. So, I mean, going back, I would say will be another story in itself, all right? But that was our Hong Kong journey, that we experienced God fresh and anew. Our faith, you know, was strengthened, and we just, you know, just felt so honored to have that wonderful experience as we step out and allow God to break us and just submit to His will and walk in His ways. So that is the story of our, you know, journey in Hong Kong. As I mentioned, it was a wonderful journey. So this morning, I'd like to entitle my message, A Fortified Faith. A fortified faith. That means it's a faith that is strongly anchored in the Lord. It's important that your faith and my faith is strongly rooted in God. A fortified faith. And you and I must have faith. And it's not just faith, but it must be fortified faith. Of course, the question is, what does the fortified faith look like? And we'll look into it. But first of all, let us pray. Father, you are an amazing God, a miraculous God. And you are the great I Am. And most of all, our wonderful Abba Father. And Lord, this morning, once again, we come before your wonderful presence. And we ask you, O God, Lord, speak to us. Our hearts are open to receive what you have for us. We commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. A fortified faith. I want to turn your attention to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 4. A very familiar story about King Jehoshaphat. Here the Bible says, after this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hetzion Tamar, that is En-Gedi. In verse 3, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Here's a story of King Joseph. That one day he received that news that a vast army was coming against him. A vast army. That means his country will be under attack. In other words, King Joseph is facing a great challenge, a big mountain before him, a big problem. It is a vast army. And the Bible says, King Joseph was alarmed. The word alarmed means afraid. It is the only normal for us to be alarmed in the face of a challenging situation. No matter how strong your faith may be, we are still human, and from time to time we still, you know, have such negative emotions that will grip us and cause us, you know, to really have a great sense of despair. So Joseph, he was alarmed, he was afraid. But thank God, he has a fortified faith. Even though he was alarmed, but he has a strong, fortified faith in God. So what does a fortified faith look like? Let me this morning highlight four very important words. Four important words. The first word is the word posture. Posture. It's about the posture of your heart, the posture of my heart. That in the face of a challenging situation, what is the posture in your heart? Because the posture in us will determine how we face that problem, how we face that situation, how we face that challenge, how we face that, you know, mountain before us. So posture, it is so, so important. Let me highlight three zones, you know, that we oftentimes do experience in our life. Three zones. First, the reaction zone. Then the reflection zone and the response zone. These three zones, reaction, reflection, and response. First of all, the reaction zone. You know, Joseph reacted. He reacted with fear. He reacted with great anxiety. As I mentioned earlier, like King Joseph, we too, you know, will react in such a way in the face of a challenging situation. So he reacted. Just like we, from time to time, we also react. Now we react sometimes in anger, in frustration, in fear, with a great sense of insecurity. So we will react to challenging situations in different ways. Especially for, you know, many of us who have this anger issue in us, easily we tend to react, you know, with anger to people, to situation, to different settings. We will react with anger. And I know people, because of this anger issue, you know, they end up hurting themselves. They end up, you know, hurting other people. Anger is a real issue with many people. And by the way, since I'm talking about anger, can I give you just a simple tip as to how you should handle your anger? Okay, especially those of us who have an anger issue. All right, it's very simple. It's about, you know, counting and talking. Counting and talking. If you're angry with a person who is older than you, your senior, for example, maybe your father, you know, your boss, you know, someone senior, you count up to 50 and then talk. That means you give yourself time to, you know, cool down. As you count to 50, then only you talk. Because oftentimes, when we are angry, the first word that comes out will be, wow, you know, angry words. So you count to 50, and then you talk. If the person is on par with you, you know, same age as with you, you count to 30 and then talk. All right? You still count, but count to 30 and then talk. But if the person is younger than you, well, you count to 10 and then you talk. All right? But if the person is your spouse, Pastor Lawrence, if the person is Pastor Wylin, what you should do, you count and don't talk. Okay? You got it? Then you count and talk. But some people, you count, but you don't talk. You just keep on counting. All right? So the reaction zone. The problem is, oftentimes, we stay in the reaction zone. We stay in our anger. We stay in that fear that's gripping our hearts. We stay in that sense of insecurity. And that is the problem. That's why oftentimes couples, you know, we as couples, from time to time, we will have disagreement. And sometimes we have a cold war. And sometimes we, you know, say things may hurt one another. But sometimes couples who stay in the reaction zone and they kept on, you know, quarreling and at the point, and someone would say, okay lah, divorce lah. Out of the mouth, without the intention, but the D word comes out and the other party would say, okay lah, divorce lah. You know? And it's how some couples, they end up, you know, in such a bad situation. So as I mentioned, the problem is when we stay in the reaction zone. That's why by the grace of God, we must move to the reflection zone. That means we take a step back. We pause. We take some time to pause. Especially pause in the presence of God. And that's what King Joseph did. The Bible says he went into the presence of the Lord and he inquired of the Lord. He went into the reflection zone. So we got to pause. We got to begin to ponder. And hopefully we begin to perceive our situation from a whole different perspective altogether. That we no longer look at the situation with fear, but with faith in our hearts as we stay in that reflection zone. That means we shift our focus in the reflection zone. You know, from focusing on the vast army, King Joseph, he focused on his great God. You make the shift. You lift your eyes, you know, to the hills, to the mountains. You focus on the Lord. That's why the reflection zone, it is so, so important. But it takes, you know, discipline. It takes the intentionality for us to cultivate the habit of moving into the reflection zone. And every time you find yourself reacting to something, you got to remind yourself, I got to take a step back. I got to move into the reflection zone and look up to the Lord and allow God to minister to me before I, you know, say anything. So the reflection zone is a very important zone. And then from there, you're able to move into the response zone. You're able to respond objectively. You're able to respond appropriately. You're able to respond in faith and not in fear. That's what King Joseph did. He moved from the reaction zone to the reflection zone and then to the response zone. And you see how he responded. You know, he sought the face of God and he called the people together. We must pray. We must fast. We must call on the name of the Lord. And let's face this vast army, you know, with our faith in God. That's how he responded. That's why the posture of a heart is important. A posture of turning to God. A posture of surrendering to God. A posture of prostrating before God. A posture of just, you know, hearing from the Lord and just allow God to strengthen our hearts. Your posture and my posture, it is so, so important. So the first word is the word posture. The second word, of course, in this story is the word prayer. King Joseph sought the face of God and he prayed. He prayed a powerful prayer. We all pray, and you know it is so important to pray. Prayer is a means for us to, you know, bring our request to God. Prayer is the time where we experience the presence of the Lord. So prayer is something that we must always engage with because it's part of our Christian walk. There's a story of a young boy who's in the service seated with his parents, and he was making noise, a lot of noise, and then, you know, somehow he was affecting the whole service, and the father was exasperated with him, and finally the father, you know, took him out of the service and carried him and walked straight to the door to exit the service door. They at the end of the hall, the boy just turned around and he shouted, "Pray for me." Well, indeed, we need to pray. In every challenging situation, we must turn to God. But I want you to notice the prayer of King Joseph. Very powerful prayer. In his prayer, he asked three very simple questions. but very powerful questions. Three simple but very powerful questions. The first question that King Joseph had asked, he looked to the Lord and he said, God, are you not? Are you not? Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? Are you not? In other words, King Joseph, he was focusing on the greatness of his God. Are you not the God of heaven? Are you not the great I am? Are you not, you know, the mighty God? Are you not the God of Israel? Are you not? He was focusing on the greatness of his God. J.B. Phillips wrote a book entitled, Your God is Too Small. And sometimes it is true. Our God is too small. And we look at our situations and we allow the bigness of our situation to overwhelm us and we fail to see the bigness of our God. Here, King Joseph, he focused on the bigness of his God. Who is his God? So the question to you and me is, who is your God? He's not a small God. He's the God of heavens and the earth. He's the great I am. The God that all things are possible with him. That's why King Joseph, he said, God, are you not? He focused on who, you know, not what, not why yet, but who. So let us also learn to focus on our God. That's why it is so needful for you and I to grow to know God more and more. To know him, who he is. To know he is faithful. To know he is great. To know he is wonderful. That's why we must grow in our knowledge of our God. And it has to be a personal growth to know him personally. So that was the first question. The King Joseph had asked, are you not? Focusing on the greatness of his God. The second question he asked, did you not? Did you not? You notice in the verse? Did you not, you know, drive them out? So here, King Joseph, he was focusing on the faithfulness of his God. That God has been faithful. That in times past, God parted the Red Sea. God parted Jordan River. God provided, you know, for the children of Israel. In every challenging situation, God delivered them. God provided for them. God saved them. And the people of God in times past, they experienced the miraculous hand of God upon their lives. And here King Joseph, coming before God, he remembered what God did in the past. That's why he asked the question, did you not? Lord, you have done that in the past. Lord, you have defeated the enemies in the past. Lord, you were a powerful miracle in the past. Lord, surely this time you will do the same. Because you are my faithful God. He was focusing on the faithfulness of his God. Did you not? So when you and I come before God, remember what he has done for you in the past. How the Lord has provided for you. How he has protected you. How he has delivered you. How he has helped you. Remember what God did in your life. And therefore in the face of your present situation, surely you know your faithful God is there for you. Did you not? Focusing on the faithfulness of his God. And then the third question is, will you not? God, will you not? help us this time. Will you not defend us this time? He was focusing on the certainness of his God. Certainly, God will help him. Certainly, God will deliver him. Certainly, God will help him to overcome this situation. Will you not? Wow, it's a question that comes with a great sense of expectation. Expecting God to move. Expecting God to intervene. Expecting God to deliver. Expecting God to work a miracle. When you and I come before God, we must come before Him with a sense of expectation. Believing that God will answer. Believing that God will do His great part in your life. Will you not? Whatever you are facing, you can come before your God and you can be certain your God is with you and He will lead you and He will guide you because surely He is your God and He will be there for you. Will you not? You see these three, simple, but yet so powerful. Are you not? Did you not? Will you not? May we learn to ask such questions when we come before our God. So His prayer is so God-focused, very outward-focused. That is the prayer of King Joseph. And there's a second important word. The first word is posture, the posture of a heart. The second one is prayer, that we must grow in our prayer life. We must learn to enter into God's presence, you know, to just see His face more and more. And in our prayers, that's where we experience God in a very powerful way. The third word is the word precept. Precept. The word precept means a general rule intended to, you know, that will affect our behavior and our, you know, thinking. Precept. And here let me just highlight four important precepts here. The first precept is this. Every miracle begins with a problem. Every miracle begins with a problem or a need. In other words, as you look into the Bible, both in the Old and the New Testament, you will notice every miracle begins with a problem. It begins with a challenging situation. It begins with a need. And because there was a problem, a need, a challenging situation, God, you know, came and worked powerfully and a miracle took place. Whether it's about healing, about provision, about protection, whatever that may be, it begins with a problem. So every miracle begins with a problem. In other words, when you have a problem, you should be thankful. When you have a challenging situation, you should be glad. Because why you should be thankful? Why you should be glad? Because you are a candidate for a miracle. Amen? You are a candidate for a miracle. That's why you and I must learn to look at our problem, our challenging situation from a whole new different perspective altogether. Don't look at it as a problem. Problem. Don't just look at it as a challenging situation. Look at it from different perspective. Because every miracle begins with a problem. Because the more you focus on that problem, and the more your mind thinks, oh, this problem is bad, and this problem becomes worse, and the more you think, the more you focus on the problem, the more fear will grip your heart. But you begin looking and you say, hey, this problem, God can work a miracle out of this problem. That changed your whole perspective altogether. A woman went to a seminar, and in the seminar, the speaker was encouraging the people had to have a right perspective. A right perspective of looking at the problems of life. The speaker was encouraging, no matter what, you know, look at your problem differently, look at it positively, and you must learn to embrace every problem. Learn to embrace every problem. Must adopt that attitude of embracing your problem, not with fear, but with faith. So whatever your problem, all kinds of problem, go and embrace your problem. So this woman, she was so motivated by the challenge for the message of embracing the problem. So she went home. She walked into a house. She saw her husband and she embraced her husband. So wives, don't embrace your husband now. Some of you will get it tonight at 12 a.m. Every miracle begins with a problem. So what is your problem? What is your challenging situation? Will you believe God that God can work a miracle in your situation in a very powerful way? In our journey thus far, we have encountered, you know, challenging situations from time to time, and we experience God, you know, in different ways, how the Lord helped us, provided for us, intervene in our situation. So when I became the senior pastor of Grace Assembly, you know the history of Grace Assembly, for 20 long years, the church has always wanted to embark on a building program. For 20 years, when Pastor David Lim took over as a senior pastor, in the second year, he felt, what did I say? Oh, okay, Pastor David Lim, I ordain you. So when the former senior pastor, Pastor David Lim, took over as the senior pastor of Grace Assembly, in his second year, he felt, you know, the Lord spoke to him to rebuild the place, the pleasant place at Tanglin Road. So he embarked on the building project. But somehow, for 20 years, it did not take off. Either the people say no, or the government say no. We just could not get the approval, you know, to rebuild the building. So when I became the senior pastor, so this building project was already kind of behind, you know, put at a back burner. It's no longer what we are embarking on. But 6 months into my leadership as a senior pastor, we got the approval. Wow. 6 months into my leadership as a senior pastor, we got the approval. So in other words, it became my baby. It's not something you want to inherit, you know, upon, you know, assuming that leadership position. So it became my baby. It became my responsibility. I mean, taking over as a senior pastor is already challenging enough. But to embark on a building project is an added challenge. Because the cost of the building project was 60 million Sing dollars. 60. That means now it's about 200 million ringgit. You know, times 3.5 now, about 3.5. So to me, $60 million is a lot of money. a lot of money. He said, I am a pastor. I'm not a fundraiser. I'm a pastor. So what do you do? I came before the Lord and said, Lord, this is a huge project. I said, Lord, I surrender this building program to you. I said, Lord, it is your project, not my project. I said, Lord, it is your problem, not my problem. It is your will, you know, for the church to embark on this building project, then you got to work a miracle. You got to provide every dollar. You got to ensure that the whole process will be smooth. And therefore, with approval, we have to take, you know, to the congregation to get the congregation support and approval before we can proceed with it. And at the AGM, I share with them, you know, the bidding project, the vision, and just, you know, challenging them to just look to the Lord and believe God for a powerful miracle to take place as we embark on this building project. So at the AGM, we got about 98%, you know, from the congregation to go ahead. Not 100%. There are some people who still felt, well, it's a waste to tear down the building is still so nice, it's so much money, you know, could we raise the money or not? Some people were pretty concerned. So we did not get 100%, but we got almost 98%. To me, it's really very high. So it begins with a strong unity, you know, from the church to move ahead. And as I mentioned, I surrender the whole project to the Lord. I've learned to do this, to surrender. And what I did was, once a month, I would go to do a prayer walk at the site with the project manager. Once a month, I would do that. You know, when they tore down the building, when it was still flat, empty, before they do the excavation and lay the foundation. Once a month, I will go and do my prayer walk at the same time to see for myself personally the progress of the building. And of course, as a church, we also, you know, took time to pray, to fast, and just commit the whole building project to the Lord. And I've learned one thing in the whole building project is that I make sure that I focus on the builder and not on the building. I learned to focus on the builder and not on the building. Yes, the building is important, but the builder is the one that will take care of the building. So I focus on the builder. So I said, Lord, it is your project. Lord, you lead us. And Lord, I pray that in this project, the church will experience you. The church will experience your mighty hand of provision. And that the church faith level will rise to another level altogether. It's not just about fundraising. It's about faith raising of the hearts of the people. I said, Lord, you do your powerful work of grace. You work a miracle. So at the beginning of the whole of the building project, at the beginning, I received a call from a brother. You know, he's not worshiping at Grace Assembly. He called me. He said, Pastor, I heard about your church building project. Then he said, Pastor, my mother-in-law used to attend your church. But now she has passed away. But she used to attend your church. And she has been blessed in your church. And I want to do my part to help in your building project. He said, Pastor, I own a tiles factory. You know, tiles, floor tiles, wall tiles, toilet tiles, whatever tiles. He said, please ask your architect to come to my factory and take whatever tiles that you need. Wow. That was the first phone call that I received. The first miracle, you know, hearing from the brother that he wants to help us by providing us tiles. And I asked and told my architect, and he went to the factory and took whatever tiles that was needed for the building. So I learned one thing. thank God for mother-in-law. Okay, thank God for mother-in-law. It is so important. I can stand here to share with you testimony after testimony how the Lord, you know, led us throughout the whole building project. If you ask any grace member, even today, you ask them during the whole duration of 30 months of the building project, the Pastor Kelvin, you know, talk much about money, they will say to you, no. I hardly talk about money. Yes, once a year I will give an update. I will, you know, challenge the people once a year, and that's it. And throughout the year, basically, I give testimonies. Testimonies where there is a story that tied to God's provision, that ultimately God himself will receive all the glory. I will just share testimonies. I will not talk about money. As you know, gong qin, gong lui shi gan qing. All right? So I just give testimonies after testimonies. At one occasion, a subcontractor invited me out for lunch. And I went, I checked up with him. And he said, you know, thankful that he has a part in the building project as a subcontractor. After the lunch, he gave me an envelope. He said, Pastor, here's an offering I want to give to your building project. And he is not a Christian. All right? After he left, immediately I opened up the envelope. And I saw a check of $300,000 from a pre-Christian. And one day on a Sunday morning, I was sharing a testimony of how the Lord provided through a member an amazing story, because he put a deposit for a house. And then he felt the need to sell the house and whatever profit turn around and give to the church. And just by, you know, turn around, he gained about $100,000 and he gave to the church. He decided not to, you know, purchase the, and the so-called contract to purchase the house. And he gave $100,000 to the church. And I shared a testimony with the church. And on that Sunday, we have a visitor from Malaysia. A dato. He heard about the testimony. After that, he called me. He said, Pastor, I also want to give $100,000. Wow, just that. You know, he appeared on that Sunday, the right time. He heard the testimony. He was touched and he responded to the touch of the Lord. Another $100,000. So just different ones, different ways God provided. You know, the children, the youth, the adults, the apostles, all did their little part. I have a member, you know, she turned 55 years old. You know, in Singapore, 55, you can get your CPF. And she said, I'm 55 this year, I'm getting my CPF. I'm going to give $55,000 to the church. And just that. An elderly member celebrated her 70th birthday. And she invited all her friends. And she told her friends in the card, please don't give me any gifts. Give your money to the building project. Wow. That's her way of giving to the church. So different ones, you know. As I mentioned, I share with you testimony after testimony to cut the long story short. 8 months before we moved back, we started the project in 2013. We were supposed to move in October 2015. But in February 2015, on one Sunday, 8 months before we moved back, on one Sunday, I stood up before the congregation. I told the congregation, church, we have enough money already. Don't give any more. Wow. 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 Give the Lord a praise offering. Really amazing. And we walk into the new building debt-free altogether. 8 months before, we experienced what I would say, what Moses experienced in the building of God's tabernacle. Because there also came the point, Moses said, enough, enough, enough. Even after I say enough, the people still continue to give. Wow, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the church experienced a powerful, you know, a miraculous of God's provision. And therefore the faith of the people, you know, just was being strengthened. Because they saw the hand of God, the grace of God. That's why every miracle begins with a problem. No matter how challenging the situation may be, we can believe God for a breakthrough. We can believe God for His hand of God to rest upon our situation, that He will turn the situation around in a powerful way for His glory. And someone says, amen. So there's the first precept. Every miracle begins with a problem. The second precept is this. Understand the biblical balance. Understand. A good understanding of the biblical balance is so important. You see, the balance is about, you know, God's divine intervention. It's about His power and His promise. But it's also about human cooperation, our attitude and our action. Yes, God will do His part. But you and I must also do our part. We cannot be so spiritual or our faith come to such a point that we are no longer practical, that we say, God will do everything. I don't have to do anything. Yes, once in a while, maybe. But normally, God doesn't work things that way. You do your part, and God will do His part. Don't ever be like this student. This student, you know, he say, I don't have to study. In every exam, God will help me. Because God is my teacher. He will help me. So the exam was just around the corner. He did not study at all because he believed that God will do His part. So he walked into the exam room. He sat down, looked at the exam paper. He could not answer the questions because he did not study. So he wrote on a piece of paper before he handed it up to the teacher. He wrote there, I do not have the answer, but God has the answer. Then the next day, the teacher handed back the paper to him. And the teacher wrote on a piece of paper, since you don't have the answer and God has the answer, therefore God passed and you fail. So understand the biblical balance. There's divine intervention, yes. But there's also human cooperation. You do your part. Let me just give you three simple big ideas as to what it means to do your part. First, do what you can. Very simple. Do what you can within your human, you know, abilities and responsibilities over the situation. Do what you can. Second big idea is this. Give God what you cannot do. Don't try to do what you cannot do. Give God what you cannot do. The fact is that there are many things we cannot do. Not within our abilities, not within our power. And the more you try, the more you try to take control, the more you try to change, the more frustrated you will be because you are trying to do it in your own human strength. So, give God what you cannot do. I've learned that. I learned I cannot change carries. I try. and I fail. So now I give. I said, God, you take her. Lord, you change her. Only you can change her.
Same.
Amen, amen. Whether it's people or situation, or whatever, you know, mountains you are facing, you learn to give to God. Give God what you cannot do. And the third big idea is this: trust God to do what He can do. Amen. Trust God to do what He can do. And all things are possible with God. So these three simple ideas: do what you can, give God what you cannot do, trust God to do what He can do. So understand the biblical balance. The third precept is this: know that your questions matter. Your questions are important. King Joseph asked very, simple but powerful questions. His questions are all very outward focus. Outward focus. I call King Joseph questions, they are hallelujah questions. Learn to ask hallelujah questions, because oftentimes you and I, we ask aya questions. We say aya this la, aya that la, aya why this, aya why that. So we ask a lot of aya questions. Aya questions are very, self-centered. Very, situation-centered. So the question you are asking, are they God-centered or giant-centered? Are they Christ-centered or circumstances-centered? Are they promise-centered or problem-centered? Because how you ask will have an effect on you. Because the fact is that the more you ask all the aya questions, it will increase your self-doubt. It will somehow affect your confidence. And it will reinforce the negative thinking in your mind. It will just reinforce. That's why many people experience or having a disease, what I call ANTS. A-N-T-S. Many people are suffering from this disease called ANTS. A-N-T-S. You know what ANTS stand for? That means anxious negative thoughts syndrome. Very anxious, very negative their thoughts, and they have this syndrome. And they live with that disease. And therefore, this end syndrome will have a great effect on us, because we are always focusing on the problem, always focusing on the situation, always working on the issue, on the negative. And therefore, the more we do that, the more reinforce the whole negative thinking pattern in us. So questions are important. Sometimes when you're faced with a situation, we say, oh God, why me? What have I done to deserve me? God, are you punishing me? Lord, why me and not my brother? So there's a great focus on self. That's why I say your questions matter. Learn to ask, God-centered questions. Because questions will build you or break you. And we must learn to ask questions. Questions that will help us to focus more on God than anything else. So your questions matter. The fourth precept is that every battle belongs to the Lord. Your battle, my battle, belongs to the Lord. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 20 verse 15, God spoke. And God told King Joseph, this battle is my battle, not your battle. And God said, I will fight for you. I will intervene in this situation. You will see my mighty hand in a very powerful way. So always affirm, always declare that my battle belongs to the Lord. And that's why you learn to depend on God. These four important precepts. And finally, the fourth word is the word pledge. Pledge means making a commitment to God. It's about your whole walk with God, your whole relationship with God. It's about your faith in God. It's about how you want to strengthen your faith. Let me say this, church. What is important is your walk and my walk with God. Your faith life cannot be dependent on just, you know, what you're receiving in the church camp. It's a great time, a time that your faith will be strengthened. You are drawn closer to God. But we cannot be, you know, based on our faith, our relationship, just on events and on certain programs. But our faith needs to be strengthened on a daily basis. That's why it's about your walk and my walk with God on a daily basis. That's why we got to make that pledge, that commitment to God, that God, I want to know you more. I want to experience you more. I want to walk with you. That's why these three important pledge, it is so important. First, your relationship with God. The word is deeper. You go deeper in your walk, in your knowledge of God, in your experience of God, in your faith in every area, you want to go deeper. And that is on a daily basis. That's why you and I must learn to, you know, have a spiritual rhythm in our lives, a daily spiritual rhythm that we are being connected with God. And that's where daily we experience the touch of God upon our lives. So it's your relationship with God and the word is deeper. Then second is your revelation of God. The word is greater. We must have a greater revelation of the God that we worship, the God that we serve. As J.B. Phillips said, your God is too small. And I pray we will realize that our God is not small. That's why our revelation of God is so important. In every situation that you face, may God give you a fresh revelation of who He is in your life. If you're in need of healer, you know, see that He is your healer. If you're facing a situation where you need God to provide you for something, know that He is your Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. Know that He is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there, the Lord who is for you. Know that He is Jehovah Rohi, He is your shepherd, He guides you each day. Know that He is Jehovah Nissi, He is your banner, the banner of love over your life. So you got to, you know, increase, you know, and have a greater revelation of who God is. You say, God, open my eyes to see you in this situation, in my family. Lord, in every situation, may our eyes be open to see the greatness of our God. And third, your reliance on God may be stronger. You learn to depend on God. You learn to rely on God, not on your own strength, not on your own human abilities, but in the strength and might and power of the Holy Spirit. So you make a pledge in this area to God. Make a commitment. Say, God, I want to know you more. God, I want to see you for who you are in my life. And Lord, I want to depend on you more and more in every situation in my journey. And that's where your faith will be stronger. That's where you will have a fortified faith in God. Posture, prayer, precept, and pledge. Let me just close with this story. One day a father was walking in the park with his 5-year-old son. As they were walking, the son asked the father, "Father, how big is God? How big is God?" The father pondered for a moment, and at that point, an aircraft, you know, flew over them. And the father said to the son, "Son, look up to the sky. Can you see the aircraft?" The son looks up and the son said to the father, "Dad, it is so small. It is so small." Then the father, you know, took the son, got in the car and drove to the airport. Parked the car at the airport and took the son and walked him as close as possible to where the aircrafts, the aeroplanes are being parked. And from the glass, the son can look out and see the aircrafts. And the father asked the son, "Son, how big is the aircraft?" And there was the A380. And the son said, "Dad, it is so big. Dad, it is so big." What's the point here? What's the point? The point is about one word. And the word is intimacy. It's about your closeness with God. It's about your intimacy with God. The closer you are to God, the closer you see who God is in your life. The closer you are to God, the greater you see the greatness of your God. But when you are far away from God, you only see the bigness of your problem, the bigness of your situation, the bigness of your mountains. That's why we need to draw close to God. Not just during a camp, but on a daily basis. Intimacy. May you and I be drawn closer to God more and more. Because it is a relationship. I pray your relationship with God will grow stronger each and every day. And that's where your faith will be fortified. A fortified faith. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, O God. Hallelujah. Oh, shalabaka kukuriande. Glory, glory. Let's just bow our hearts before the Lord this morning. May our hearts open our eyes to see Him this morning. May our hearts be open and say, "God, more of you in my life, dear Lord." Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord God. This morning, let's draw close to God. Let's enter into a deeper, you know, dimension in our walk with God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This morning, we're going to come before the Lord. We will run to Him and say, "Lord, in your presence, I desire a fresh touch, O God." Maybe some of you here, you're facing a vast army. You're facing a challenging situation. Some of you here, your concern is for your children. And God is saying to you, surrender your children to the Lord. That is your challenge at this point. Some of you, there's a fear regarding the future. Surrender your future to the Lord. Some of you are concerned about your work. Surrender your work to the Lord. Some of you are concerned for your business. Surrender your business to the Lord. Whatever challenge you are facing right now, know that every miracle begins with a problem. But what we need to do is to run and come before our great Abba Father. And just turn to Him. And just look to Him. So let's step into the reflection zone and be the response to God in the way He wants us to respond. So this morning, let's come before God with a faith that believes, with a faith that says, God, Lord, I will put my trust in You, O God. And I will declare that all things are possible with You. Whether it's about salvation of a loved one, about a provision financially, about children, about marriage, about studies, about work, about business, whatever the area that is concerning you, that is affecting you right now, you surrender that area to the Lord and say, God, I surrender this area to You. But first of all, you surrender your life to the Lord. You make that pledge and say, God, I want to know You more. Lord, I want to be drawn closer to You. I want to have greater intimacy with You, O God. You do that this morning. Surrender your life. Then you surrender that challenge, that problem, that mountain, that battle to the Lord.